Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Managing Director, Charts and Data Operations at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Executive Digital Director, West Coast.
Hello, Katie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm all right.
You're rocking your Kylie sweatshirt again.
Oh, yeah.
I like that you represent.
You know, it's funny. For, like, ages, I would never care or have interest in artist clothing merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow in like the last 12 months, mm-hmm. I've acquired like, I don't know.
You've
like,
been personally targeted by all these artists and their merch.
In a way, like, I don't know. Like for a long time, I just didn't care. I'm wearing a red Kylie Padam Padam.
He also wore it during our Robbie Williams interview.
Yes.
Her collaborator.
I also wore it in December when my car was totaled, but that's another thing altogether.
Does it make you think of it every time you wear it?
Yes, it does, actually.
Oh, that's so sad.
By the way, if you have any car recommendations, feel free to DM me.
Because it's 3 months later and he still hasn't gotten one.
And I'm walking to work and walking home each day. It's so much fun.
Lord.
But yeah, now suddenly I have hoodies from like Troye Sivan and Madonna and
you
Kylie.
Tried to have one from Taylor.
Tried to have one from Taylor. I bought that in-demand blue, that sort of gray-blue hoodie that everyone wanted, that even I wanted because I was like, oh, I really like that blue and it's really nice and it's sort of subtle but also Taylor-y. And then I got it and I'm like, this thing, I'm swimming in
it. It's like one of those Ariana Grande sweatshirt dresses that she wears with just like a pair of thigh-high boots.
I know. I could have thrown a belt on it. It would have been fierce.
There you go.
And then I brought it in. I'm like, Katie, do you want this? She's like, I love it.
The answer is yes.
So maybe I'll...
So far, I've bought him one glass of wine in repayment. So
and
we'll...
You know the price of wine, so that pretty much covers it.
At the Forum Club, yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop and hoodies on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show... We've got chart news on how Teddy Swims Lose Control completes one of the longest climbs to number one ever on the Billboard Hot 100. Plus, on the Billboard 200 Albums chart, Kacey Musgraves and Justin Timberlake make a splash with their latest albums, both debuting in the top five.
Now, you mentioned Teddy Swims, and also on the show, we'll be discussing the rise of this sort of growly male singer on the Billboard charts over the past year plus, and who might be the next voice to climb our charts.
Mine.
It's definitely Keith's bark.
Plus, no one's ever said I had a growly voice, let's be honest.
Only when I lose my voice, and then you make Kim Carnes jokes. Plus, does Lady Gaga have new music on the way? She seems to be hinting at her post-Chromatica era on social media, so we'll check in on what could be next in just a moment. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
Before we jump into the chart chat, the Lady Gaga mention reminds me that she has new dates of her jazz and piano show.
I'm going to mention that in my news item.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
between June and July.
Yeah. So keep that in the back of your head because I'll forget these other two things. In social media in the past week, I saw how Sting did some sort of live show with a jazz artist whose name I forget. I apologize. And Sting himself is obviously very jazzy. And I sort of joked. I'm joking to myself. I'm like, what if Sting's next album is like a jazz album? Mm. Because he's put out a reggae album with Shaggy. Mm-hmm. He put out a classical album. I wouldn't be surprised. And then yesterday, Charlie Puth posted something on his socials where he's like doing, he called it jazz in my pants or something. It's not,
great.
It's not what you think. It's not what you think. It was just like him like.
Okay, Charlie.
And, well, you know, Charlie. But he was just him like noodling on the piano. And it was like him doing like sort of a jazzy bit on the piano. I'm like, you know, what if we get like a jazz project from Charlie Puth? I'm like, you know, we got Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett doing their jazz albums. You know, we've got, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's something to it.
I mean, Leve, who's
true.
Been on your Billboard 200 chart and did well at the Grammys. She sort of made jazz cool and young.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it feels like jazz could be having a little moment.
Oh. Okay, well, there was your side note. So back to the chart chat. First up, on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, Lose Control by Teddy Swims reaches number one in its 32nd week on the chart. as it climbs 2-1 with a gain in airplay, though it's down in sales and streams. It's the first number one for Teddy and his first chart hit. The song debuted on the chart dated August 23rd, 2023, at number 99.
I love that. 99-1.
And has been slowly but surely climbing up the list. And in fact, the previous 10 weeks, it's been in the top 10, just
yeah, basically all of 2024, it's been just climbing.
In the tracking week ending March 21st, which is reflected on the chart that we're talking about today, Lose Control drew 59.1 million in radio airplay audience impressions, and that's up 9%, 23.2 million streams, that was down 2%, and sold 8,000 copies, that was down 34%. And of course, that's all according to Luminate. It's number three on the radio songs chart, number four on the streaming songs chart, where it actually previously peaked at number three, and falls to number six on digital song sales, having spent three non-consecutive weeks at number one. As Hot 100 chart manager Gary Trust points out in his story online, Lose Control saw two new versions released during the tracking week, a Tiesto remix and a radio edit. They join nine previously released versions of the song.
I'm wondering if I've heard anything but the radio edit, because I mean, I've heard it on streaming a lot too, but
the other versions are like, there's like a couple dance mixes, there's a couple live versions, there's like an acoustic
version.
I'm trying
to picture the Tiesto remix. Yeah. Like I'm dancing.
How about I'm going to insert the Tiesto yes. remix right here. All right, there's a Tiesto remix.
Now I've heard it.
Yeah, there. Well, as Lose Control hits number one in its 32nd week, that marks the longest climb to number one by a solo male artist and the fifth longest climb to number one ever. Katie has a question.
Well, this made me think of Glass Animals, and you have the numbers right here in front of us.
Well, the slowest ride to number one was tallied by Glass Animals' Heat Waves, which took 59 chart weeks to get to number one in early 2022. By the way, I don't think I remember those 59 weeks were not actually consecutive. I think it was on the chart, then it fell off, then it came back.
Yeah.
That's just chart weeks. That's not like total elapsed time.
I know what always sticks out to me with Glass Animals is that they performed at the Billboard Music Awards, I believe in 2021, and it was a weird COVID show where everything was outdoors.
Oh, that
it
was one downtown in LA.
Yeah, yeah. And then it took like a year after that until the song hit number one on the Hot 100. So like they already were popular enough to be one of the performers on our show, meaning they'd already had quite a bit of chart success. And then Heat Waves took one full year after that to get to number one. So, well, yeah.
Also on the Hot 100. So obviously, congratulations to Teddy Swims. He himself is very excited about this. You should check out his social media. I was looking at his Instagram.
We did an interview with him yesterday, too.
Tetris did.
Yep.
That's what you're going to name check?
Yes.
Do you want me to tell us about that?
No.
Okay. Well, I was going to mention that.
Please,
so,
go.
Yeah, Teddy called in to Tetris, Billboard News. They did a little video interview. It looks great, and Teddy shared it on his socials. Billboard posted it on their socials. It's so cool because the interview starts out, and Teddy's like, you know, my man Tetris. He's like, you know what? Even though I'm not there with you, I've got a shot for you. And he had like two drinks. He held two drinks up, one for him and one for Tetris.
I love that.
Yeah, he's super excited. And also, when he shared the top 10 graphic that we have on Billboard's accounts showing the top 10 of the Hot 100, he said something to the effect of, you know, Benson, you're up next.
Oh.
And Benson Boone, his label mate at Warner Records.
What a segue, Keith.
Is number two on the Hot 100 with Beautiful Things. And that is its highest chart rank ever.
And it's also, you know, I love bringing up the global charts. It's been number one on both global charts, and it was his first number one in the UK this past week as well.
Yeah, and there was a picture or video of Benson holding up a little award that the UK charts give people when they're
official
number one.
Charts company.
And, which is really cool. And he said that it was his first, like, trophy ever, or first.
Aww.
His first, like, I'm going to guess it's like his
first
music.
He gave his first
music.
Acceptance speech.
It's his first music-related trophy,
right,
apparently.
Right, right. That's cute.
I think he was, wasn't he like an athlete in high school or college
or
something?
Oh, well, I didn't even know that, so.
I read somewhere that he was like a swimmer or a diver or something, so.
This is me not having that information.
Oh, I don't know. It's okay if you don't.
I'm about to Google it.
Not everyone has to know his entire biography. But I'll wait as you Google.
Yeah, why not? From Washington. There we go. Well, in high school, he competed on the diving team. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know that he dove in college.
Well, he was in high school on the diving
team. Yeah, yes. He was on the diving team in college and then signed up for a battle of the bands in his junior year, even though he had no experience singing at all. There you go.
In high school.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, anyway, Beautiful Things is number 2 on the Hot 100, its highest rank ever. And so congrats to Benson and Teddy. And
don't worry, we're talking about both of them a little more later in the show.
One last thing about Benson Boone. He announced his first album. I'm not sure if it's his first album, but his album, Fireworks and Rollerblades. I think he announced it late last week.
Since I'm on his Wikipedia page, yep, that will be his debut studio album. He has had 2 EPs previously.
Uh-huh. So debut full-length studio album. That comes out April 5th. The cover art is eye-catching. It is Benson in a pair
clicking
of...
Looking on it. Oh, yep.
It is Benson.
Oh, that's what you sent me earlier this week. I didn't know what it was.
Oh, for
I had
God's
no idea.
Sakes.
I was like, okay, there's a man in flaming rollerblades.
Yeah, he's rollerblading down the street in a pair of like cut-off jean shorts in rollerblades with fireworks coming out the back of them. It's very kind of like Boogie Nights, circa 1981.
Truth-ish.
Yep. It's very eye-catching. And also, he teased his new song, which. Katie, what's the name of the new song?
Slow It Down.
Slow It Down.
It was released on Friday.
There you go. All right. Back to our regularly scheduled
what
script.
Else would you like me to get off this Wikipedia?
nothing else. Also on the Hot 100, Cardi B's Enough Miami debuts at number 9, securing the rapper her 12th top 10 hit and first since 2022's Tomorrow 2.
She also released a collab with Shakira this last week on Shakira's brand new album. Wow. So busy. She's keeping busy.
Enough is Cardi's first top 10 hit, which is unaccompanied by another act since Up hit number 1 in 2021. All right. Lastly, over on the Billboard 200 albums chart, Ariana Grande's Eternal Sunshine stays put at number 1 for a second straight week, while Kacey Musgraves' Deeper Well debuts at number 2. And Justin Timberlake's Everything I Thought It Was starts at number 4. For Musgraves, Deeper Well marks her highest charting album since her debut set, Same Trailer, Different Park, debuted and peaked at number 2 in 2013. Further, Deeper scores Musgraves her biggest week by units earned, 97,000, her best sales week ever, 66,000, and her biggest vinyl sales week, 37,000. All told, it's the 5th top 10 charting album on the Billboard 200 for Musgraves, and all of them have reached the top 5. Meanwhile, just knocked the microphone. Sorry, everyone. Meanwhile, Timberlake's latest album, his first in over 6 years, starts at number 4, scoring him his 6th straight top 5 charting album. And that's the entirety of his solo releases.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is Timberlake's first album to miss the number 1 slot since his debut album, Justified, which debuted and peaked at number 2.
I will say on the Justin front, too, since we talked all about NSYNC last week, that
they've announced a tour.
No. The one and only song from Everything I Thought It Was on the Hot 100 is still Selfish, which is the first single.
I thought for sure Paradise was going to do it.
I thought it would, too. And then I also checked on Kacey's end as well. And Deeper Well, the title track of the album, is like number 76 or something on the Hot 100 this week. It's funny because we have become accustomed to an artist like Ariana Grande, Drake, Taylor Swift, et cetera, placing, all or almost all of the songs from their new albums on the Hot 100 and think that that's just like kind of how it goes with big artists. But I think these are 2 examples of very high profile albums that came out from very popular artists, not, like they're not Ariana Grande, not Drake at this moment in their careers, but I was surprised to see only one song from each of them on the Hot 100.
Well, I will say on the Bubbling Under Hot 100
Talk
chart,
to me.
So Drown from Justin re-enters at number 9 on the Bubbling Under chart.
Okay.
No Angels debuts at 19.
I did a search for No Angels specifically.
And yep. Paradise debuts at number 20.
There we go.
For Casey, let's see. Does she have anything on the Bubbling Under chart?
Too Good to Be True
debuts at number 2. Cardinal debuts at number 12.
Oh, God, I love that song.
And The Architect debuts at 22. Oh,
another really good one.
So just missed.
Yeah. I will say, you got to listen to that album, Keith. It's so good.
Casey Musgraves?
Yeah. Well, I'm so obsessed with her.
I'm not much of a scholar in Casey, unfortunately.
I am.
She's lovely. We've interviewed her, and she was nothing but, you know, sunshine and lollipops.
I mean, would love to talk to her again. We talked to her the week she won Album of the Year.
Yeah,
we talked
before.
To her right before she won.
A few days before. We were her lucky charm.
Yeah, that's right. Of course. So I wanted to double back to Teddy Swims and Benson Boone for a second and just kind of bring up the fact that, you know, these two rising like in like this parallel fashion the way they have been. Obviously, Teddy's been on the charts much longer. Benson's chart run with Beautiful Things has only been this year, whereas
yeah, like
Teddy
3 months,
has been,
yeah.
you know, 30 odd weeks.
The years.
But it feels like a little sign of a you know, potential trend here. You know, and Keith and I wanted to dig in a little bit more on that. I think the interesting thing with Teddy and with Benson is that they're in sort of the pop and rock space, right? And we ended up going to Keith's teammates who run they manage the Hot 100, the rock charts, and the country charts. And those three teammates are Gary Trust, Kevin Rutherford, and Jim Asker, and kind of went to them and asked, like, what's the deal here?
What's going on, guys?
Yeah. And they gave a lot of great context for it because one of the things, like, first of all, Keith had reached out to Gary and Kevin. Gary immediately looped in Jim because yeah. he's like, this is a country-fueled trend in Gary's mind.
Yeah, even though Benson and Teddy, by the way, Benson and Teddy aren't on the rock charts. They're not being played by rock radio. They are purely.
I'm surprised about Benson specifically because Beautiful Things to me is quintessential. It would be great on rock radio. Yeah,
well, you know how radio is.
I know.
They're not going to play it unless it's promoted.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And clearly they worked it to top 40.
To pop, yeah.
Yeah, to pop. Anyway.
Well, so one of the things about this drawing a straight line to, you know, the country male singers who have seen success on our charts over the last, you know, year plus, Kevin brought up the fact that some people, when they heard Teddy Swims' song for the first time, Lose Control, thought that it was Chris Stapleton singing it.
I mean, I wouldn't fault anyone for thinking that.
Yeah. And it's like, yes, it's a pop song, but it's also very soulful. And it has the kind of thing that Chris Stapleton does so well, which is, you know, sometimes you listen to a Chris Stapleton song, it could be a rock song. It could be a soul song. It's not necessarily like super country. It's almost Allman Brothers, you know, like
oh, yeah.
kind of pop rock, like you can hear like radio rock. And that's the vibe that
Southern,
Lose Control
Southern
has as
soul
well.
Rock.
Exactly. Hmm. I've always thought that Chris reminded me of Allman Brothers. And so to, you know, and Teddy's voice very much recalls Chris's voice as well. So looking at the country of it all, last year, we had 4 male country singers who had number 1 and number 2 hits on the Hot 100, right? We had Morgan Wallen with Last Night. We had Oliver Anthony with Richmond, North of Richmond. We had Jason Aldean. He's kind of an outlier here. I don't really lump him in here. And then we had Luke Combs's cover of Tracy Chapman's Fast Car at number 2, peaking at number 2 on the Hot 100.
Darn it.
Yeah. And Luke, I feel like Luke also kind of lumps into this growly man vibe.
Yeah. I mean, Morgan does not.
Yeah, Morgan doesn't really.
Because, like, Morgan has, like, last night we let the wear her
top. A little twangy.
Sort of the nasal twang.
Oh, and I didn't even bring up Zach Bryan. His and Casey Musgraves' duet topped the Hot 100 last year.
Zach Bryan and Chris Stapleton are, like, cousins in the sort of the kind of the rootsy, authentic male voice.
Totally.
And that is cutting through.
Yep.
Clearly. And then you see someone like Benson or Teddy who are taking a little bit of that special mojo and, you know, saying,
making it a palatable radio, like mainstream radio
vibe.
Yeah,
and I don't think necessarily any of that is like sort of, you know, plot it out. I think it's just who they are, and it's like the right time and right place where it's just like, oh, it's working.
Totally.
Yeah.
Noah Kahan might be somebody we should bring up as well. I mean, just as far as I think everything's just going a little rootsier.
Mm.
Is that the deal?
I mean, in a way, like, it, not on your script, but it kind of reminds me of, like, immediately when you said, like, Noah Kahan and sort of singer-songwriter. I'm like, it's not that terribly dissimilar to when in, like, 96, 97, 95, we suddenly had Sheryl Crow and Fiona Apple and, you know, Meredith Brooks. We had all these, like, authentic female singer-songwriters who, like Melissa Etheridge, like everyone was like cutting through. Things come in waves where people really seek, you know, what seems to be kind of authentic, earnest, unpolished, unproduced-ish material. And then it turns around and then suddenly it's like, put your glasses in the air, bing, bing, you know.
What's the pop response going to be to this?
Right.
But no, I wanted to bring up one point that Gary made, which was the fact that Morgan Wallen's go-to producer Joey Moy, also produced Nickelback. And it's like, yes, okay, I could see this. It's all making sense.
I remember when that first came out, that first news came out, I was just like, huh,
yeah,
that checks out.
It does. And then Gary also name-dropped the sort of early 2000s and 2010s vibes of artists like Gavin DeGraw, who kind of followed the Goo Dolls Matchbox 20, like, male band vibe and brought it to the singer-songwriter space. And when he mentioned Gavin DeGraw, I also thought of Ray LaMontagne, who is very much in the Teddy Swims vibe, who had kind of minor radio hits, never anything to this extent, nothing. And I don't even know about maybe Hot 100, but, like, high up, not, like, you know, top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say high, I mean, like, 90s, not, like, top 10.
Okay.
But that's, like, that is definitely the thing. So, again, things come in waves. And another thing that Gary brought up is if you look at women making, you know, pop rock music right now, he brought up Olivia Rodrigo, really recalling the late 90s and early 2000s sort of, you know, pop rock vibe.
And Alanis Morissette?
Anyone? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And so it's like everybody's just like they grew up with these influences and now it's like bearing out. Like we're seeing what they grew up listening to or their parents made them listen to more likely.
You know, also just shout out to Taylor Swift and Folklore and what was the album after that?
Evermore.
Thank you. I was going to say Evermore. I'm like, that doesn't sound right. It's bad. Bad fan, Keith. But also, like, what if this suddenly makes more kids want to pick up an instrument?
Exactly. I mean,
like
exactly.
Play guitar and maybe play piano or something.
100%.
That would be amazing.
100%. Yes.
Anyway, sorry.
I mean, it probably will.
I mean, side note.
Yes.
Can you imagine? I don't know. I hope there's some data after the Eras tour is over with when so many young people have seen Taylor on stage on the Eras tour with a guitar during the acoustic set with a guitar and they're like, I'm going to do a song on guitar.
Or piano.
I'm going to do another song on piano.
Yep.
And I'm going to show you how magical and special this can be. And I can do it. You could do it too.
Yep.
I mean, it'll take some practice, but you could do it too.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so back to what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I wanted to throw a couple other names out because Kevin had mentioned Jelly Roll too. I feel like he's another obvious one. And he's definitely straddling
country. It's very Zach Bryan-y in terms of genre placement.
Yes. And then Kevin also brought up a couple of very familiar names who've been around for a while that are just now having new hits. He brought up Hozier, who apparently just had his biggest hit in years and is about to allegedly have what will be his next biggest since Take Me to Church. And apparently Daughtry just had his first number one on mainstream rock airplay. Like, what? What year is it?
Well, yeah, the rock charts are really weirdly. The mainstream rock airplay and the alternative airplay charts have been really odd in the past, like, 2-3 years where they've been basically hosting a bunch of number ones from, like, heritage acts, meaning heritage from, like, the 90s and 2000s.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know about this.
It's weird how, I mean, in a way, it's like, I think it's rock radio kind of retreating to what is familiar.
Yeah.
To, you know, capture the listeners.
Yep.
Who maybe they had 20 years ago and they don't want to lose. But it could also just be sonically, you know, we're in a cyclical moment where that kind of sound is coming back.
Right. Well, and so let me just give you the names of these. Daughtry had his first mainstream rock airplay number one last month with Artificial. I should say there, because it's a band, yes, not a man. And then Shinedown had a number one in January with Symptom of Being Human. So, yeah, it's waves. We're going in waves. But I also wanted to bring up the people that Kevin and Jim both said are sort of the potential up next artists, right, to Teddy and Benson, right?
And they are.
They are. Okay, so Kevin says, and this is coming from the rock perspective, he says Sam Barber, Max McNown, Wyatt Flores, and then he brings up the front man of the Red Clay Strays, who is Brandon Coleman. His name is Brandon Coleman. And then Jim, who is our country chart manager, he brings up Jackson Dean, and he says Nate Smith. I feel like I've heard that name before.
Yeah, he's been around.
He's been around, right? Jackson Dean is the one moment, again. Jackson Dean had a hit on Yellowstone, which is exactly the path to success Zach Bryan took.
Yeah. So I don't think Jim is saying that these two individuals are brand new, but they just happen to be percolating on the country airplay chart. And
maybe he's saying they have the chance to be a breakout level star of Zach Bryan's level, right? Like, and he also brought up Josh Ross. Yeah, Josh Ross is the other person. So if you're looking for your next Teddy Swims and Benson Boone, you have your rock and your country suggestions.
Hey, we should make a playlist, a Pop Shop playlist. Ooh, this week.
Of all these people, we just growly men.
Next up. I want one of them to cover Betty Davis Eyes.
Oh my God, there we go. So we have to bring up Gaga real quick.
Speaking of growly men.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, her Shallow duet partner, what's his name?
Jackson Maine.
Jackson Maine. From Maine to Dean.
So Lady Gaga took to her Instagram stories last week and she shared a photo of audio waves on a screen, which we all know what that means. It's either an artist either shares the audio waves or a picture of them just sitting in a studio. Those are the two options.
Or she's having trouble playing something on her phone and she was seeking IT help.
And she accidentally screenshotted it and shared it on her IG stories. Right. No, but Gaga has yet to confirm any more information about what could be next, but fans have definitely been clamoring for new music since Gaga's last album, which was Chromatica in 2020. Of course, she's been keeping busy, as, a pop superstar does.
Well, didn't she have the Tony Bennett album between Chromatica and now?
That doesn't count, though,
sure
as, like,
does.
A Gaga... Well, I mean, but, like, if you're looking for a Gaga era, like, do you think that counts?
She'll probably count it as an album. If you're looking for a solo Gaga project, yeah. But she did put out an album in between. I know what
yes.
you're saying.
So... a few things that she kept busy with other than the Tony Bennett collab album. She's said that there's going to be a film based on her 2022 Chromatica Ball tour.
Oh.
That she's been working on. So it'll be interesting to see how she, paces that out, releasing something like that, and then also trying, putting out new music. We'll see how that goes. She's also been filming the Joker sequel, which is a pseudo musical, by the way. Yeah. It's called Joker Folie à Deux, and it co-stars Joaquin Phoenix. Gaga's playing Harley Quinn.
So what, Harley Quinn is like a lounge singer?
Well, that's kind of the vibe I'm getting, because Variety published a report last week that said that the film will include at least 15 cover songs.
Okay, so then there's a Lady Gaga covers album for Folie à Deux.
It's coming. And then they have not yet apparently done original music for this movie yet. Like, basically it sounds like during production they did not have original music ready, but they might add it later.
You add it later?
I mean, probably have to pick up cameras again and film a new scene.
Well, why do they need new music?
They just said that maybe for Oscars. I don't know.
Well, then that's why you put a song in the end credits.
But one of the covers is said to be Judy Garland's That's Entertainment from the 1953 musical The Bandwagon. So your vibe of lounge singer sounds about right if we're doing Judy Garland covers.
Okay, so that's what she's recording. That's what she's sharing in her...
No.
Yeah.
No, because she's not going to post any of that stuff, I don't think.
When's Folie à Deux supposed to come out?
Not for a while. That's why they haven't even done original music yet.
It's this year.
Let's see. Release date. Oh, it sure is October. Well, then they better have original music sometime soon.
No, so she okay, here's what she's teasing. She's teasing the covers album, And the first single from which will probably, I mean, it's March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, 7 months away from the release of the film. We're going to get a single, not, if she's teasing out stuff, we're going to get, the next project is going to be a cover song.
Now I have a new theory because, as I mentioned, we mentioned at the beginning of the show, she just announced she'll be back on stage at the Dolby Live Theater for these jazz and piano dates. What if they're going to film?
When?
Some of that.
When does the jazz and piano dates? July? They're
June and July.
All right. Well, then at some point, she's probably going to... Do you think that she would use that to introduce a new song?
I don't know. I guess we'll see what her
Have you seen
makeup
that
looks
yet?
Like. No, I've never seen it.
I haven't seen it. I would really love to see that.
Yeah,
we should
too.
Go. Let's do a pop shop trip to Vegas.
I mean, yeah,
well,
we
that,
should.
Yeah, that doesn't seem very enthusiastic from you.
Well, I know. I want to see it, too. I've actually been...
You don't have to go with me. You can go with someone else.
Oh, my God. I have been curious to see those shows. I actually was more so thinking that I usually go to Maine in July. Literally, I was like, ooh, can I go?
The look on your face was like, oh,
in
no.
In case you
I'm
were
like,
trying to read my face, that was like, what are my travel dates for Maine? So do not take that personally. And then we also mentioned on the podcast a few weeks ago that there are still rumblings that there could be some sort of Gaga element on the Beyonce album that comes out on Friday, Cowboy Carter.
Oh, are these rumblings? Oh, someone shared.
They're wishful thinking. I mean,
I saw something float by me on my Instagram. I don't know if it's real. So why am I sharing it? Sure. Someone shared something that was allegedly from some choreographer that works with Beyonce. Potentially, mm-hmm. or has been, they shared a screenshot of Lady Gaga in a still image from the telephone video where Gaga was wearing those sunglasses with the cigarettes.
Yes.
And then, of course, this person was like, oh, my God, if Beyonce's one of Beyonce's maybe it wasn't a choreographer. It could have been a stylist. I don't know. It was someone who worked with Beyonce is sharing this image. What does that mean? I'm like, well, it could mean they're trolling you. It could also mean that Lady Gaga.
The amount of rumors I've heard about Cowboy Carter, Keith, the amount of rumors, like just endless rumors that couldn't all possibly be true.
We still don't know the track list.
No.
It is Tuesday.
Yeah, she doesn't put out a track list.
Tuesday in the morning. By the way, I got a notification this morning that my box set from Beyonce.com that I ordered that comes with a T-shirt. Mm-hmm. A CD inside a box because you know full well I'm going to see how this.
I was like, did Billboard? Are you expensing this to Billboard?
I mean, I guess I could. It was $58.
Yeah, I was going to say that's really not cheap.
I think the price was like $40, but like shipping was like $18.
Oh my God.
Anyway, I bought it because I wanted to see how the box was made. Because
yeah.
There's
rules.
There's rules.
All right. Well, we
and
will
also,
definitely.
I'm like, when will I actually receive this? Is it going to show up on my doorstep on like Thursday night on accident? I doubt it. Is it going to show up on Friday?
If you got the shipping notification, you say, will it show up early?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm like, there's no way that
Keith's
they would.
Keith's going live on Instagram if it shows up early.
Oh, God, no. No one should ever go live on Instagram.
Oh, no. Every time I see it, mostly it's Nicki Minaj that I see go live. I'm like, uh-oh. I'm happy we brought up Cowboy Carter, though, because, like, it is the elephant in the room. I mean, it's the biggest release this week. But we have literally nothing to say about it because we don't know anything until it comes out. So next week... you can't shut us up about it. We'll talk all about it. Or maybe the week that it debuts on our charts. We'll just talk all the time.
I will say three of the days this week, we will, if you're listening to this podcast in the 3 days it's out before Friday, then you can experience the anticipation and excitement and unknown with us as we go, is Dolly on it? Is Gaga on it?
You know what
Are
rumor
the chicks
I heard
on
last?
It? Oh, what's,
I mean, I think I can say this just because it's like all unsubstantiated, right? You and I both are like, can we just repeat these rumors we're hearing?
Sure.
But there's a Jolene cover.
Well, Dolly said something in some interview like a week or two ago.
Oh, that hinted at that?
Well, she was like, well, I think Beyonce may have covered Jolene for her new
album.
And
maybe it samples or interpolates for all we know, but we don't know.
It could have been like on the Renaissance album when Beyonce interpolated, was it like the Donna Summer song? Was it I Feel Love?
How can I even remember after Kanye also took I Feel Love? Like, I don't. It's like who did what to Donna Summer, but she did it.
But she did it.
Beyonce actually got it.
So maybe it's something like that where Dolly knew that Beyonce is doing something with the publishing or sampling or doing interpolation. She's like, and maybe Dolly thought it was a cover. I don't think I don't think she would do a straight cover.
But we can imagine that there's going to be a Jolene element in this album. Love that.
And clearly Dolly was not reading her NDA.
Yeah, exactly. Yvette definitely sent that over.
And now Beyonce's just like, all right, it's coming off the album.
Oh, okay. So we'll talk more about that one next week. Shall we move on to the chart stat?
Oh, sure.
Of the week?
All right. Well, now it's time for the chart stat of the week. With Lose Control hitting number one on the Hot 100 after having debuted at number 99 last year, I thought it would be fun to take a look back at some other songs that also debuted at number 99, but went on to have a successful high charting run on the list. Now, first, why am I drawing attention to number 99? Well, typically, it's lauded when a song makes a splashy high debut on the chart, which indicates huge demand for a song, typically. But when something debuts very low on the chart, it may not necessarily predict future smash status. And in fact, could be, you know, forecasting a short run for the song on the list. So here's some notable number ones that started at the lowly number 99.
Can I ask follow-up questions? You go ahead.
Potentially. I mean, I have follow-up answers.
Okay.
So, Cher's Believe started number 99 and went all the way to number one. T.I.'s Whatever You Like. Camila Cabello's Havana featuring Young Thug. Helen Reddy's I Am Woman. And Carly Simon's You're So Vain are just some of the songs that debuted at number 99 and hit number one. Before I'm going on to the next part, I'm pausing for a second. Do you have any questions?
Well, I'm curious because I feel like sometimes things debut at number 99 when they like debut late in the week or whatever. They have a partial charting week.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you know?
I don't think
any of these, none of these are those examples.
The only one that might have been, I mean, only maybe T.I. and Camila might have been like that.
Okay.
But,
and also, you know, I'm looking over here like at this like a digital editor. Like, is there a full list somewhere? Because can we put this list on Billboard.com?
A full list of all the songs that debuted number 99 went to number
one.
Yeah.
And how many do you think it is? Like about?
I think there were maybe like 15.
Oh, that would be a great list, especially this week when it happened.
Sure, get Gary on the case.
Okay.
All right, some other major Hot 100 hits that started at number 99 and went on to become top tens later. So these are not number ones, okay. But they're really familiar, well-known, all-time faves. John Denver's Take Me Home, Country Roads, which hit number two.
Classic.
Number two. Gosh darn it. I wonder what it was stuck behind. The Mamas and the Papas, California Dreamin'. It hit number four. Ike and Tina Turner's Proud Mary, which hit number four as well. And Kelly Clarkson's Because of You, which hit number seven. So there you have it. A little stroll down number 99, Memory Lane on the Hot 100. You know, I am actually going to look. I wonder what Take Me Home Country Roads was stuck behind.
Yeah, I want to know, too.
I'm invested in this. See if I can actually...
I love that song. Makes me think one of my elementary school teachers used to have us all sing that together. She would play the guitar, the acoustic guitar. Mrs. Michelutti. I'm going to give her a shout out on the
Mrs.
podcast.
Mrs. Michelutti.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. You know, Take Me Home Country Roads was John Denver's very first Hot 100 hit.
Wow. I did not know that.
Didn't know that either. Pete's number two for 1 week on August 28th, 1971.
Behind?
How Can You Mend a Broken Heart by the Bee Gees.
I have to say, you know, I was hoping it was a song I knew, and I do. So.
I actually know the entire top five that week.
Wow, that's impressive.
So number three was Signs by the Five-Man Electrical Band. Signs
oh, yeah.
Everywhere.
Oh,
signs,
yeah.
Which was later covered
by Tesla
in the 90s. Number four was Mercy, Mercy Me, The Ecology by Marvin Gaye.
Okay. Yep.
And number five was Mr. Big Stuff by
I also
Gene
know
Knight.
All those songs.
I don't know number six. Maybe I would if I heard it. It's called Sweet Hitchhiker by Creedence Clearwater Revival.
I mean, we know CCR, but I do not know that title.
Sweet Hitchhiker.
I know. It's a creepy title, actually.
Yeah, when you think about it for half a second, you're like, what? Do they mean?
Right.
I don't want to think about that too much. All right. We've reached the end of our big show.
Now that I brought up Mrs. Michelutti, she just had the greatest, like, kind of folky taste in music. So she introduced us to that one, The Circle Game by Joni Mitchell. We would sing that.
Don't know that.
Oh, I bet you do if you heard it. And then, a lot of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
I was going to say Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Of course. That's perfect for elementary school kids. Love. So, yeah, she gave me.
Just singing Puff the Magic Dragon?
Obviously. Obviously, we're over here. And they did If I Had a Hammer,
yes.
Right? Yeah,
I
that was another
so.
One.
Peter Paul. Oh, what about the Kingston Trio? Probably not.
Oh, actually, it's Pete Seeger wrote "If I Had a Hammer" for Peter Paul and Mary. Got it. Understood.
Okay, so what are we going out on?
Oh, man, I just went on a real tangent there.
You just had a tangent about
if you don't think you know Circle Game by Joni Mitchell, let's roll it.
All right. Circle Game it is. See you guys next week.
Bye.
We can't return. We can only look behind from where we came.